Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen and Bob Dio. I've got two producer engineers with me today. On the other side of the glass, we've got quite an audience then today for the Buckmaster Show, coming to you on this Thursday, July 20th, 2017, from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Do you believe it that it was 48 years ago today, Apollo 11, the first human footsteps on the moon, 48 years ago. The Buckmaster Show, welcoming your calls on our live line 790-2040. If you would like to join in the conversation at any time during the broadcast, please feel free to do so. We've got our live streaming. That means worldwide live listening anywhere at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. A lot to talk about today in the first half hour with Dr. Mark Stegeman. Dr. Stegeman, one of the five members of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. He's with us on the live line from Colorado, where he has escaped to get a little cool air. How are you today, Dr. Stegeman?
Very well. Thanks, Bill.
I'm a little confused on this whole process here as we search now for a new superintendent of the TUSD district. You couldn't come to a consensus, is that right, on how many members would be on the search committee? Can you kind of fill in our listeners?
Well, Mike Hicks and I wanted seven persons on there, and that's partly reflecting my experience that big committees don't work well, but there was some back and forth. Adelita Hall and Crystal Foster wanted 15. So when we compromised on 11, which was fine, but then one of the 11 was supposed to be a joint appointment, and we had trouble agreeing on that one joint appointment, and so then we went back to 15. That was a little disappointing because I thought we ought to be able to at least agree on one joint appointment of this committee, but in the end it probably doesn't matter much.
Now, speak up, if you will, into your cell phone, because it's kind of been fading a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bill.
Yeah, that's better. I need you right up against that cell phone so we can hear you from Colorado. Now, it is interesting, and you pointed this out in the constituent note that you send out on a regular basis to your constituents, that there was a name on this committee that you felt... You and Mike Hicks felt this was a no problem. This is the highly revered Vail school superintendent, Calvin Baker, but there was controversy about Mr. Baker.
Yes, I wanted the name that I thought was most likely to get a unanimous vote, and Mr. Baker honestly has much more stature in the community than anyone on the board, including me, and he helped us when we did the search that produced John Petticone. So he'd been around this track before, and I thought that would be an easy vote, but two of the board members didn't support it, and then we didn't go ahead.
So you do now have 15 members, the 15-member committee. When are they going to meet?
They are meeting right now, Bill. This is they started at 8 a.m. this morning, and hopefully they'll get to a conclusion today.
And who are they? You obviously can't tell us the names, but can you kind of give us a feel for the applicants for this particular job of superintendent?
Well, I don't actually know the names. Part of the way we set this up is that the board would not hear the names. The consultant, Nick Clement, knows the names, and we're not supposed to know them. Now, since this discussion has been going on for months, there are some names I think might have applied, but I don't really know for sure.
Well, what is that?
We'll find out soon. The committee will report out, and the board will find which five names they're recommending on the 27th.
And what will the... Okay, on the 27th. So what then? Right. When will the public have their say on these five finalists?
Well, that's not quite finalist. So the five names are going to go to the board on the 27th, and the idea is that we will pick out of that probably two or three finalists. It could go up to four, I suppose. And then the consultant, Nick Clement, will check back to the finalists, be sure they still want to be announced, And if they do, then he will announce names probably around the 29th or 30th.
How is
then the public will be fully engaged from that point.
How is this interim superintendent, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, doing? He had to fill in, and how's he been doing, in your opinion?
I think he's been doing pretty well. There was a lot of controversy surrounding the Sanchez resignation agreement, and he stepped in, is a very calm guy, and kept everything moving forward. So I think he stepped into a tough spot and has done pretty well on the whole.
What is the thinking? You'd like to have someone in place perhaps by the end of the year or even sooner?
Well, this depends on the applicant. Because Dr. Trujillo is doing pretty well, I don't think it's an emergency. So if we end up hiring someone who's currently retired, maybe they could come in right away. If we hire someone who's currently an administrator somewhere else, maybe January 1 will be the realistic date. But I don't think that's going to determine our decision. I think we want the right person, and then we'll have the date discussion.
All right, well, let's move on to some other topics. Got a lot to cover here in a half hour with Dr. Mark Stegeman. If folks would like to join in, 790-2040. Dr. Stegeman, as you know, the Mexican-American Studies program is on trial, if you will, in federal court at this point. Does this impact at all, will the ruling impact TUSD in any way?
Well, it could potentially. It's not actually the program that's on trial. We went through that several years ago. This is the law that made the program illegal. And the claim was that the law is unconstitutional. And when that first went through the district court, part of the law was ruled unconstitutional and the rest was upheld. But then the Ninth Circuit sent it back and said, you need to do some more work on this. And so now the rest of the law is on trial. But it's really, at this point, not so much about our program. It's about the law, and is the law itself unconstitutional?
Where have you been on
the law? Yeah. To continue, if the law were ruled unconstitutional, then it would create the possibility of going back and revisiting what we're doing with culturally relevant curricula.
Were you a big supporter of Mexican-American studies?
I don't think it would be fair to call me a big supporter. I think we had very little choice because of the funding cutoff that was threatened at the time. I do support the culturally relevant curriculum that we're doing now, which we're doing because the federal court is requiring us to do it as part of DSED. That's not the same as the other program, but it has elements of it. So I support that. That's legally required. I think I'll reserve judgment on what else we might do until we find out how this court case goes.
All right, let's move on to the Tucson Education Association, which has hundreds of members. I don't think we don't really have a specific number. This is the group that represents I don't really know the number. Maybe you know the number of teachers that are represented by the Tucson Education Association, Dr. Stegeman?
We have several thousand teachers. I know the number of teachers who have their union dues deducted from their payroll, which I think is what most of them do, and that number is a little over 400. So it's a pretty small fraction of the total number of teachers.
Well, they feel they're being, well, from they did attend, I believe, your most recent meeting, some members of the TEA, and there's kind of a feeling that maybe they're being kind of muscled out of the picture by this board. What's the situation there?
Rachel Sedgwick, the new board member, has raised the question of what the TEA's protected status in our contract. And I think that's motivated partly because of the 301 controversy, where people felt like the TEA didn't do a very good job for the teachers, and partly from the low membership. So she's raised the question. She hasn't made any specific proposal. I think they're reacting to the fact that she's putting it on the table. And actually, Mike Hicks has been talking about this for years, and his big issue has been if the membership of the union is so low, then why do they have the exclusive bargaining right? So I'm not sure where that's going. Everyone wants to be fair to the teachers, but the low membership is an issue.
All right. So that's going to be on the table in the upcoming meetings. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right, because we still haven't ratified the contract for next year. We're a little late. It should be done by now, by July. What we did is we extended the previous contract, so it's just continuing as is, pending whatever we do with the new contract. So sometime in the next month or so, we'll figure that out.
All right, and school begins, right, in a couple of weeks for the district.
Yeah, school begins pretty soon. And then pretty soon after it begins, we'll have the superintendent finalists in, which in a way is good timing because everyone will be back in town and have a chance to go to the forums and so forth.
All right, let's take our break right here at 12:15. Dr. Mark Stegeman will stick around. He's on the live line with us. He's vacationing in Colorado. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show again, 790-2040, if you would like to ask Dr. Stegeman any questions about education and TUSD. We'll be right back. The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, Rio Nuevo Chair Fletcher McCusker updates downtown Tucson redevelopment. Friday Roundtable has Tim Steller, the Star, Jim Nintzel, the Weekly, and Matt Russell has our weekend watch on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, and always on my website, buckmastershow.com. It is the Buckmaster Show Thursday edition on this July 20th. This portion of our program presented by Green Things. Green Things, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They're located at 3384 East River by the Rito River Walk. And of course, they're on the web at greenthingsaz.com. I suggest going to their fine website for information about upcoming free workshops. They have such a great variety of workshops, and these are free to all interested folks and the gardening community, learning some valuable tips. Jan and Jack, the owners of their beautiful facility on 13 acres over on River Road. Let's go back now on the live line. Dr. Mark Stegeman is with us. He is a member of the TUSD Governing Board. The board, in case folks are just joining us, the board is moving forward. Now there is this committee of 15 people that are looking at the applicants for the new superintendent of TUSD. But Dr. Stegeman, there have been quite a few positions, rather high-paying, important positions that have been eliminated. Is this the beginning of a massive reorganization of TUSD?
One of the problems we've had is that we have high administrative overhead compared to our peer districts. So we've had about 11% of our budget is spent on administration, peer administration, and that's higher than any of our peers by a big margin. So I think we're going to be looking at trimming that. After Dr. Sanchez left, and a number of other administrators have left, and in most cases, we're not restoring those positions. So we're probably going to eliminate a legal position. We're going to combine the top two positions in finance. We're going to combine the top two positions in HR. We're eliminating the deputy superintendent position completely. So the transition is creating the opportunity for some significant savings.
Why was there all these layers? Are you saying these people did not contribute to the TUSD's welfare? How did the district get along without now these people? How are you going to get along?
Well, I'm not saying anyone wasn't doing anything, but I'm saying that the amount of work could probably be done by fewer people. And so, as I said, in HR, we're combining the top two positions, and the feeling is that that combined position can do whatever the two positions were doing, and the same thing in finance. So it's not that those persons weren't doing anything, but it's that we can reallocate work into getting things done a little more efficiently.
Now, there will be a bond proposal, correct, on the ballot. The board moved 3-2 to place a bond on the ballot for this November. What is at stake here, Dr. Stegeman?
Well, we have some pressing facilities needs, and that's absolutely true. We have a lot of deferred maintenance, and the state funding to do that kind of work has been cut very materially over the last few years. So we have legitimate needs, as do other districts. And so that's what the bond's about. I voted against it because I just don't think with this short run-up, early voting starts in 4 months or so, I guess less than 4 months now. And I just don't think we're going to get this through this year. I'd rather do it next year. But the needs are legitimate.
There were two dissenting votes, you and who was the other dissenting vote?
Rachel Sedgwick, and I think it was for the same reasons, just that the last time we went to the voters, we had a 62% no vote, and so to go from 62% to getting something passed is a steep hill to climb, especially when you're doing it when you don't even know who the next superintendent is. So I just think the timing's a little off.
How is the budget looking? How is the financial picture look for the state second largest school district in the state of Arizona, the largest in southern Arizona? Are you looking at a pretty good budget picture?
I think that the staff, and of course that's now being, for the moment, headed by Dr. Trujillo, who stepped right into the middle of the budget process, and his ability to affect it was limited. I do think that he made a serious effort to move some money out of administration, partly eliminating, mostly by eliminating positions where people were retiring, or in some cases moving people who were in central out into the schools. So we did make a little bit of progress in this budget toward trimming administration. I think it's balanced. I'm not worried about that, but I voted against it because I still think there's too much stuff that we're spending on money on that I don't agree with. But the board as a whole passed it.
As school begins, will you have enough teachers? Last year there was a teacher shortage. Well, of course, there's a teacher shortage throughout the state, but how's that going to impact classes here in a couple of weeks?
Well, there is a general teacher shortage, including in Pima County. TUSD, I think it's fair to say, has had a more severe problem relative to the number of teachers. We have had a lot of vacant positions. The last time I looked, we were up around 150, 160 still vacant positions going into the new year, which is a lot. And so I think this is a big problem for us. And we need to, one thing the new board needs to do is spend a lot of time thinking about how to fix it, or at least make it better than what it is.
You've talked about a strategic plan. What are some of the issues that are going to be involved with that?
Well, one of Dr. Sanchez's first initiatives was to develop a strategic plan, and the document that emerged out of that was a 65-page document, pretty small print, and Mike Hicks and I never agreed with that document. And we never agreed with the length of it, and we never agreed with the priorities, which were not really on student achievement, we're not on school climate, we're not on compliance with the DSEG order. And so I think now that Rachel's on the board, with a change in the board, we might be looking at moving past that document. And I'm proposing that we just articulate half a dozen simple goals that everyone can understand instead of this long, long document.
Did you say it was 65 pages and you needed a magnifying glass to read the fine print?
Well, I didn't quite say a magnifying glass, but if you go online and look at it, it's pretty small print. And I mean, there's been a lot of, the district was very proud of this document, but I really didn't think it was a workable planning document. I'm not sure everyone on the board even read the whole thing, much less the principals and everyone else in the organization.
Are you at all concerned now with the image of TUSD after the rather rocky, let's put it this way, it wasn't a pleasant departure for Dr. Sanchez and kind of the rocky start here to the search for a new superintendent? Maybe this isn't the best time to go to the voters to ask them for money for TUSD.
I'm not sure I'd call the superintendent search off to a rocky start. We had a little disagreement about the membership of the committee, but I don't see that as a huge issue in the end. We have 17 applications. I don't know who they are, but I'm optimistic that we'll have some good applicants in there. There certainly was some rockiness to Dr. Sanchez's departure. That was a 16-day process, and it felt like about 50 you were doing it.
It was messy.
So, yes,
come on.
Yeah. I think the way we fix the negative perception of that is to show that we have a competent new superintendent who's going to lead the district forward, and then I think people can lose their focus on what happened. But you're saying, does it affect the bond? Yes, I think so, and I think that's why we need a little more time to get a new superintendent in place for everyone to feel comfortable with the new direction, and that's something we could do in a year, but I'm not sure we can do it in 4 months.
Parents, of course, want that when they drop the kids off at school, they want a safe environment for those children. As we start this new school year, are you at all concerned about safety issues for the district?
Yes, we have, not at every school, of course, but at some schools we have severe climate and safety issues. And we have lost, I think that's one of the main reasons we have lost student enrollment. I think it's a big driver of some of our teacher vacancies. And so that's a pressing issue for us. We have been working on revising the student code of conduct, which is a disciplinary code, but it hasn't happened yet. And that's something the board needs to focus on a lot in the next few months. It's not an easy problem to solve. Some problems are easy and some are hard, and this is a hard one. The board asked the staff to acquire the disciplinary codes of the other 10 largest districts in the state. So we have some other models to look at. But sometime in the next few months, we have to make progress on that.
When is your next board meeting?
Next board meeting is the 27th, and at that time, we will, in private session, look at the five names sent forward by the external committee. And so hopefully the board will make some decisions about finalists, and then shortly after that, everyone will know whom we're looking at for the next superintendent.
All right. You'll be wrapping up, I guess, your vacation very soon and heading back?
Well, I'm heading back for that meeting, so I'll come back next week so that I can be there for that big decision.
Okay. Mark Stegeman, thank you very much. Hope it's going well for you in Colorado. Appreciate you joining us.
I appreciate the opportunity, Bill. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Mark Stegeman, he is a member of the TUSD Governing Board. He's also a professor at the University of Arizona Eller School of Management, where he teaches economic game theories. That's his specialty. 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. Our specialty here on Buckmaster, informing Southern Arizona. And we will be back with our monthly Your Med segment with Dr. Ray Woosley. That's coming up after the mid-show break on Buckmaster. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Time for our monthly segment on our program focusing on your medication and how to take control of your health care. Dr. Ray Woosley is our Your Meds specialist. He's the former University of Arizona College of Medicine Dean, founder, and now president emeritus of the Tucson-based Critical Path Institute, known commonly as CPATH. Dr. Woosley's latest venture, doing so well, he created Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicine. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from 180 countries. Visit CredibleMeds.org today. Dr. Woosley, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
Very sad news about Senator John McCain with a very difficult cancer, the diagnosis, a cancer of the brain. What can you tell us about this?
Well, it is a horrible illness. I mentioned, you know, my mother died of brain cancer, and two of my very best friends from the medical practice at Georgetown when I was there died within 6 months of this illness, and it's a horrible death. The good news is, if there is any good news, is there are some treatments that are starting to look very good. Classical treatment hasn't been very effective. The average survival is somewhere between 6 and 12 months. But there are people at Duke University right now who've been treated for over 3 years and have not had recurrence.
You're kidding. Wow, that's wonderful news. Are you saying Duke is the place to go then for this particular treatment?
It is amongst the best. I mean, he's getting excellent care at where he is right now. And I'm sure they're aware of this. So if he qualifies for that kind of treatment, I think that's encouraging. And, you know, I think there's a message here, because that treatment came out of research on polio.
Okay.
So I think we should all, when we hear about these bizarre kinds of basic medical research, we shouldn't laugh at them, because we don't know what they're going to be used for. And what they do is, we're all immune to polio because we were vaccinated
sure.
when we were kids. So what they do is, they inject this new kind of polio virus into the tumor. And your body goes after the polio virus and catches the glioblastoma in the process. So that's amazing science, and it's very encouraging. I just hope he does well. It sounds like they got it early, which is very important. But two of my best friends, they got it early, too. So
I also have a very good friend who was diagnosed with it about 2 years ago. He was dead within a year. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they say these are like rare brain cancers, but just with mm-hmm. the two of us sitting here talking,
right.
we know combined, we've just four people
yeah.
that have had this. So, and oddly enough, Senator Kennedy,
right.
Ted Kennedy, had this same brain cancer.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now,
unfortunately, he had it before. I think he was treated at Duke, but they didn't have this protocol ready at the time, so he didn't get this treatment. But everything in cancer right now is pointing toward, use your immune system. The belief is, we get cancer because our immune system didn't catch it. So there are now many protocols to try to jazz up, target your immune system to do the job it was supposed to do.
All right, let's go to our live line, 790-2040. Matthew has called with a question for Dr. Ray Woosley. Go ahead, Matthew.
First of all, Dr. Woosley, thank you for everything you did with CPATH. And, I mean, that is a huge institution for Tucson. And most Tucsonans are still learning about it every day.
Well, thank you.
When I was in Iraq, I remember I used to do a briefing every morning with a lieutenant colonel who was in his 50s at the time, and he was the senior munitions officer for all of Iraq. And one day, you know, he just started acting sort of strange, and we'll never forget, he had just started having a mild headache. And, you know, luckily he was able, they sent him in for a quick, evaluation, and then he was moved to immediately to Germany to take an MRI. And he basically, they diagnosed him right there, and he was with brain cancer. What sort of symptoms should people, is there a certain age group, or that it may not be your specialty about brain cancer that people need to be aware? And I think, I always think about why people that are in certain occupations may have some exposure to things that are susceptible to it. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you for a great question. It isn't my specialty, but because of these very good friends, I've had to learn about it and follow it carefully, because I think, you know, I've got a photo on my desk of the three of us, and two of the three of us have this cancer, so it's on my mind. The symptoms can be anything. It just depends on where the tumor originates. And I think Senator McCain had double vision, which is a very common symptom, a little weakness anywhere in your body, a little. And remember his difficulty expressing himself in a recent interview. I think those were some of the earliest signs. And maybe that will, and those signs, whether they cause symptoms or not, helps determine whether it shows up early, which can make a big difference. If it's in a very part of the brain where it's not causing much trouble, it'll grow, and you won't know about it. So I thank you for your question. And this is one of those areas where there's a lot of research ongoing, but I think it's one of those that we know so little about, because every tumor is different, and every tumor is different every day. So as your tumor or a tumor is growing, it's changing. So the targets we try to go after really make a difference. Will change, and therefore what I believe is we've got to find ways to vaccinate against cancer.
Do you think that will be kind of the future, a cancer vaccination?
Actually, they're out there right now. There are vaccines that prevent cervical cancer.
Right, right.
Yeah. So I think that's the only way to go forward, because I look at a cancer and I see a volcano going off, constantly changing in front of me. And how are you going to hit that target with it moving and growing so fast and changing? So I think the immune system has to be part of this, and vaccines use the immune system. So,
all right, back to the live line. A lot of interest, obviously, in this, Dr. Woosley. Roberta would like to ask you a question. Go ahead, Roberta.
Thank you. Do you know if this is the same kind of brain cancer that Jimmy Carter had and was cured of with immunotherapy? And has anybody checked into whether all these brain cancers occur on the same side that a cell phone is used?
Great question.
Great question.
A couple of great questions.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter had melanoma, which is a very different tumor, another one that is being treated more effectively recently. We've got some very targeted drugs for melanoma that are quite effective, and I'm sure he received those. But he had melanoma that had spread to his brain and I think liver. So it's quite different. Glioblastoma is not, we don't have the target yet to be able to shoot at it.
How about the cell phone component of Roberta's question, which is a good one?
It is a very good one. And one of my very good friends who did die of this did research on that topic. And he and the rest of the world finally concluded that there is no evidence that cell phone use increases the risk of brain cancer.
So the future of treating these tumors, and as you say, these tumors are just, every one of them's different, has different profiles, is kind of a targeted therapy? Is that the right phraseology?
Right. There's certain genes that get turned on when the tumor gets going, and those create proteins. And if you have antibodies against those proteins, that they'll hit the growing tumor and leave the rest of your body alone. So that's good. That's targeted therapy for cancer. As I said, though, the targets change with time, and that's what's slowing us down now. What people are trying to do now is to find the two or three major targets and not just try to hit one of them, but hit it with three, at least, bullets.
And the care here in Arizona for cancer?
It's excellent. We've got an Arizona Cancer Center right here in Tucson, which has facilities in Phoenix, and there are other cancer centers up there, too, that are excellent. MD Anderson is up there. But the Cancer Center at the University of Arizona is a National Cancer Institute certified cancer center. So there you can get the latest forms of treatment given by the best doctors that you can find.
Dr. Woosley, thank you very much. We will get back to our normal topics that we usually talk about with credible meds, but this was an issue that people want to talk about.
Well, I love this guy, John McCain. He's one of the role models for all of us, and I just hope he does well.
And from a personal point of view, over 30 years in this town, I've interviewed John McCain many times, and I was actually interviewed, I sent you the interview, I was interviewed on The Voice of America's International Edition last night, just some thoughts that I had about John McCain, and I said, you know, regardless of how people feel politically, I think when something like this happens, we all want to pray and send our best blessings to Senator McCain for some kind of a recovery here, if possible.
Absolutely. So. We need this guy. We need more people like him willing to take a stand and have the principles that this man has.
All right. CredibleMeds.org, continuing to – you're getting lots of hits every day, aren't you, on this website?
We are. About 2,000.
Wow.
And we get a lot of questions, and I answer every one of them.
And if you've got any questions about your medication, that's the place to start. Dr. Woosley, we'll see you next month. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
All right.
The wet and wonderful monsoon season brings more than just rain as Tona Chule hosts local growers and nationally renowned plant experts for this year's annual Monsoon Madness sale. For more than just plant nerds, anyone can come to buy the weird and wondrous and learn plant care from the professionals. Tona Chule's Monsoon Madness plant sale is Friday, July the 28th from 3 to 7 p.m. and Saturday, July the 29th from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Come see us at 7366 North Paseo del Norte or visit our website at tehonachulepark.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garber. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where there is so much to do, just a 3-hour drive east of Tucson. So much to do, especially this weekend. This is the big signature event, really, for Silver City. It's the Clay Festival. Everything to do with pottery, that's going on this weekend and into next weekend. So check out southwestnewmexico.org. That's their fine website for Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, with the full listing of the many great places to stay in the area and the many recreation opportunities. Well, a University of Arizona researcher is paving the way for promising treatment for hot flashes. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show, Dr. Naomi Rantz. Dr. Rantz is a physician and a researcher at the UA College of Medicine here in Tucson. Dr. Rantz, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you.
Tell me about hot flashes. How common are they in women?
Oh, they're extraordinarily common in over 75% of women experience hot flushes. And in some women, they're very severe, and they interfere with sleep, and they can occur on an hourly or even many times an hour. And so many women are miserable. And there are also men that are being treated with for prostate cancer that experience hot flushes, and young women and even older women treated for breast cancer who experience hot flashes. So it's really a very, very common problem.
Dr. Rantz, what's your own experience with hot flashes, and how did this lead you to the research that you've been doing in this area?
Well, I was always kind of interested in how the hypothalamus, that's an area of brain that controls temperature regulation, could cause hot flashes. And then about 15 years ago, I had my first hot flash. And for me, it was an epiphany because, well, it was a flash, I guess, because I realized what a real phenomenon it was. And then I also realized that I could study it. And finally, no one had really figured it out. It was basically completely unknown how hot flushes would occur. And I had a laboratory set up where I could study how estrogen controls hypothalamus, and I decided to really concentrate on how estrogen modulates thermoregulation at that point, with the idea of trying to figure this out.
Can you explain, simply put then, for our listeners, Dr. Rantz, what causes hot flashes?
Well, I mean, a hot flash is really kind of an inappropriate mechanism to get rid of heat. You know, your body says, I'm hot, and then your skin vasodilates. And all this is controlled at the level of the brain. And so something triggered the areas of the brain to try to release heat. It wasn't that the body was too hot, it's just that the brain was telling it, get rid of heat, and then the skin would vasodilate. So I studied a peptide or a molecule called neurokinin B, and I knew where it was in the hypothalamus, and I had to study how that would control body temperature. And eventually I figured out, along with, of course, many people in my laboratory, that neurokinin B could be the trigger for hot flashes. And when this chemical is released into the areas that control thermoregulation, it could trigger a hot flash. And then people in London, Wajid Dillo and Graham Fraser, there's been two different trials now, took that to the next level, and they decided to see if they could use a drug to block neurokinin B, would that treat hot flashes. And so that's been recently done. There's two clinical trials now, and both of them were very effective, showing a very significant reduction in the number of hot flashes. So that really is a good indication that hot flashes are caused by neurokinin B, because if you block its action, you can diminish them.
And I'm also curious, something that jumped out at me when you said 75% of the women suffer them. That leads me to a question about the 25%, the one in four women who do not suffer from the hot flashes. And I wonder, what is it about the makeup of their particular brain and their estrogen levels that somehow are maybe suppressing this or what? Some of your thoughts on that, please.
Oh, that's a very good question. So it's not just lower estrogen itself that causes hot flashes, but in many cases, it's the rate that estrogen goes down. So it's possible that in some women, estrogen will be going down slower and they don't experience it. There's also been a study coming out of California now that the neurokinin, the receptor for neurokinin B, which is called NK3, that's associated with varying levels of hot flashes depending on what their gene is like. So, I mean, the big answer is we don't know, and it really does show that there is a lot of studies that are left to be done.
What are women prescribed now? Is there some kind of a drug that women take to suppress hot flashes, or what is the current modality for this?
Well, the most effective drug is estrogen replacement therapy, but there's a lot of people that do not want to take estrogen replacement therapy, especially for long periods of time, and it's controversial whether, the side effects there could be, like on breast cancer. And certainly somebody who's being treated with a drug to block estrogen if they have breast cancer cannot take estrogen replacement therapy. And then there's a variety of other medications, and they haven't been as effective as estrogen replacement therapy, and they can have a lot of side effects. So it's really an individualized treatment now. There are recommendations from the big societies, but there is a crying need to develop some type of treatment that is not related to estrogen replacement therapy. And I always thought if we could figure out what exactly caused him, then we could develop something that targeted it more specifically rather than just estrogen.
For the guys in the audience, can you kind of describe what is the sensation of a hot flash and how long does it last?
I know this now because once I started getting hot flashes, I tried to think, what in the world is this like? And I actually know what it's like. One time I was in like a regular, I was in the hallway in the building, and then I walked out on the full Arizona sun in the midday in June. And that was it. It's like that intense sensation of heat. Mm-hmm. And you just do everything you can to try to get rid of it. And then women who experience these, you know, do have sweating and their skin vasodilates, and that's why their face turns red, because, you know, that's a flush. And so you feel like you're just incredibly hot and you'll do anything to get rid of that heat. Even though if you were to measure, you know, under your tongue, the core temperature, mm-hmm. the actual temperature isn't that high, but you feel just very, very hot. So that's what I would say. The next time it turns 105, you could just send everybody outside and they will experience a hot flush. And then it lasts for like 5 minutes or so. So it's not very long-lived, but if you experience one of these at night, you're going to be awake.
Uh-huh.
It's going to wake you up, and it will take you a while. You know, you have to do something to get cool, and it may take you a while to get back to sleep.
What is the age range that these hit?
Well, usually they occur in the perimenopausal period, around the time that estrogen is beginning to get lower. But again, they can occur younger if a woman is treated with an anti-estrogen for breast cancer, or if somebody goes into menopause early. But typically it's around, 45 to 50 when it starts, and it can last anywhere up to 20 years. It's been documented.
All right. Dr. Rantz, we're going to have to let you go, but where does your research go from here quickly?
Well, I'm still trying to figure out the neural circuits on how estrogen regulates the area in the brain that controls body temperature. And so I think there could be other medications that could work in addition to this. So I think the more we know, the better off we're able to figure out how to treat it.
Dr. Naomi Rantz from the University of Arizona College of Medicine, physician and researcher on Hot Flashes, thank you for spending some time with us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. All right, coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen, and Bob maybe even helping out as well. So we've got a great group here on the Buckmaster Show helping us out, and hope you'll be with us. For Mic Check from 4 to 5, then the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow, we have Fletcher McCusker with an update on downtown redevelopment. On behalf of Bob and Ray, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.